is the second day of October, the year 2020, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, United States of America, and God's great planet Earth. Thank you for coming to my webcast that has been a few days in delay. I hope that everyone is well. I'm a little stiff around the joints. I need to walk and exercise a little bit more, and if I do that, I'll be fine, perfectly fine. I hope that all of my friends are doing well and that this virus is not getting you down. Not going to get you down with a lot of music. As a matter of fact, I'm going to fade out the music here. We don't need to have any music today, I don't think. Not really. Well, the latest news is that the president and his wife has come down with the virus, but I'm not surprised. All the rallies, all the no mask and hanging out with the friends. And I've been breaking the rules myself. I had a friend of mine come by last night, and we shared a bottle of wine and talked, and laughed, and hugged, and wished each other the best. He recently got him a high-powered car, SUV. So, you know, people are moving on up, doing what they have to do to keep their lives intact. And it was good to visit my friend. Want to share with you what news do I have to share? Not really news, I wouldn't call it news. Insights in how to live during these difficult times. New groups come out all the time. I find myself searching the World Wide Web trying to find out about these people. And that's where I've been for the past week and a half. When I come here in the studio and I, you know, go to turn the mic on, I want to say something. I think I've said all of the profound things that can be said. I think that now what I'm going to do, and I'm going to keep this short and to the point, and then I'm going to get in my car and I'll probably do some driving today, take some liquids with me, and just drive around the city and, like to the Hollywood Bowl. I haven't been down there lately. Drive up through Griffith Park, and I may even take Harcourt with me. I don't know. Just to do that, to get out of the house. I know I can't get around people, and that is disheartening. And how is it with you, not being able to get around people the way you want to, the way we used to mix and mingle? I really feel for the people that feel strongly that they shouldn't have to wear a mask. I'm really one of those persons. It's just that I don't get on my, toot my own whistle about things like that. But I believe that you should follow the rules, follow the law. And I was on someone's Facebook this morning, and when they got the news about Trump and his wife having the virus, this black man said, if anyone tries to talk about Trump, I'll delete you as a friend. That kind of thing. See, I guess I can put it this way. And the reason that I didn't want to start talking about things like this, each of us see the president from the light that we see him in. Let me put on my shades here. The sun is bright. Ah. Let me put it to you this way. Oh, much better. Much better. Each of us views President Trump from the lens that we're viewing him from. And whenever we have a conversation about such a personality, such a character, such a disposition, we are viewing it from our own particular jaded position. And I say this is jaded because you either love the man or hate the man. The man is not 100% bad, like none of us are 100% bad. The man is not necessarily good, because I don't think that any of us are necessarily good. I think all of us has ways which should be looked upon that can be a better way to live. Each of us can do that, but each of us don't. We know that. But in order for us to get along as citizens of a population, citizens of a community, citizens of a country, my God. And you know, I'm hearing more people say that they're embarrassed to be Americans. And I was looking at some clips of a movie that came out years ago. I believe, I'm not sure whether it was a Spike Lee film, Dead Presidents, I'm not sure, but a good film. And a young man that I was speaking to yesterday had not heard of the film. And, you know, the young man was speaking to me about the plight that young black Americans have to go through now. And now with the airlines laying off the baggage carriers and the clerks and the other people that work for the airlines, they're getting their last checks. That's going to throw us more into it. Tailspin, no money coming into the homes. People got an awful lot to be concerned about. I do. I have my bills I have to pay. I have bills I got to pay. And my Social Security came in. This month it looks like I'm going to be able to float through, I hope. But I'm thinking about the people that don't have any Social Security coming in. Thinking about the people that don't have any paychecks coming in. Filing for unemployment, getting in the line. People are getting frustrated. More people are breaking the laws. Our police services are overworked. There just doesn't seem to be an end to the disillusion of America. We're dissolving. We are seeking to be the country that we can be. Now, for years, I have been a beacon on this, my website, telling you to keep courage in God, keep faith in God. Keep trusting in God, so to say. And I think that most of us that really believe are still doing that. But the depression comes, I think. And I'm speaking as an older guy. This will be the third or fourth warm day in Los Angeles, and it's going to be warm, and it makes me feel very, very uncomfortable. But such as it is, you know what I did yesterday? it was so warm. I found myself looking at movies, old movies on my computer, just old science fiction movies, anything, just old, and you know, to take me away from this era that I'm living in. Because it's a time unlike any other time that I have experienced in modern historic America. I just saw a clip on Democracy today. There's another group of refugees walking from one of the countries down there, South Honduras, something, walking from there, trying to come to America to seek asylum. There's no jobs, no money. They're kicked out of their homes. Whole families, hundreds, walking towards this country. Do you know what this country would look like if we opened up our borders and let all these people in here? Do you know what we would look like? A beacon. This is what God would do. If we took down, and I think that's America's downfall. Her hypocrisy is so deep. I can't even begin to tell you how sensitive the issue of, I've been trying to talk about it for days, racial politeness in this country ceases to be. Sometimes when people look at black people such as myself, maybe God has given me the strength to talk about it now. It was too difficult for me to talk about it, and I'm going to try to talk a little bit about it now. It's difficult. Let me get my drinking water. I think I need some water to keep pouring in my system. It's okay, Harcourt. You're good. Here we go. I remember when I was a teenager, I guess. I used to go to, they didn't have malls, and they didn't have, what did they call them? These little places where you strip malls, they didn't have those in. They had downtown. If you wanted something, you went downtown or to the business part of the city that you stayed in. Like all the cities around Los Angeles are spread around in LA, have their civic center area. And I lived in Los Angeles, and so our civic center area was downtown Los Angeles. All the department stores, when you wanted to buy a new record and your local record shop didn't have the record, I jump on the bus or jump on the streetcar, get off on 9th and Broadway, and they had, I forget what they call the record shop, but you could buy records from all over the world. I mean, I would go down there and look through the stacks. And while I was looking through the stacks as a teenager, 16, 17 years old, because I've always been eclectic about music. I like different kinds of music. There was always a white person in the background watching me. You know, just like staring at me. I'd move from one aisle and I'd go around to the next. And watching me. And I know what that was. I had money in my pocket. I wouldn't go in a music store without money in my pocket. It would be foolish to do that. But I find them watching me, and it would so annoy me. You didn't dare speak with them. I just looked up at them, and I had kind of a look of disgust on my face because I wanted to chide them for what the looks was doing to me, but I knew that it wouldn't. And I've experienced that most of my young man age as I grew up. It's just something that it's the way the white people treated black people forever and ever and ever and ever. It annoyed me. I never took it to heart. I just said, I got my own money. I buy what I want to buy when I want to buy it. I grew up relatively in a kind of, a safe, I call it a safe zone. I grew up in a safe zone because I did not see myself, you know, when you talk about Jim Crow and you talk about all the kind of things that blacks, especially from the South, went through. And, of course, we here on the West Coast, we went through it here also, but not with the severity that the whites went through it. The first time I left California was when I was 21 years old. I was drafted into the Army, and most of the, well, I was assigned to go to Fort Polk, Louisiana. I had never left. Wait a minute, we hear somebody talking. Let me close the studio door here. May be coming from the window, I don't know. I hope that they don't start using bad language and stuff. But when I went into the Army, and that was in 1965 when I was drafted, that's where I began to witness a lot of racial inequity from whites in this country. And I had not studied. We didn't have computers back then. We didn't have phones where we could ask Google anything. I didn't know too much anything about what was going on. That's why the movie that I mentioned, Dead Presidents, would be a very good movie for you to see, because it shows in a very real way the plight of the African-American male that was my age. It shows his plight. And I think the movie is a good watch. It shows how inhumane and cruel the Vietnam conflict was, the war, basically, was, and detrimental to our people, as black people. I was stationed in Korea. My brother, who is still alive and who is sliding by the week. As a matter of fact, that's what I should do. I should get in my car and go see him just to cheer him up, because he can't drive. And I can still drive and do that. And I'm thinking that I should go see him, because I could lose him any minute. He told me, my brother told me, and he was in Vietnam. His body system was poisoned through ingesting Agent Orange in his lungs. It went all through his body. And of course, the horror war stories that he told me that our government ordered those soldiers to do. Did you know that at the time during the Vietnam War that they were drafting entire classes that graduated in high school, right out of high school? They were drafting them right out. They would leave high school and the whole, they'd meet their buddies on the army field. Now, if you want to see a movie that depicts that, you have to see the movie called, what's that movie? Deer Hunter. The Deer Hunter. That's another movie made during that time that really showed how horrible it was. But America has always had the opportunity to do herself right, to, I guess, protect her citizens. We as a country, and I speak as a member of this country because I can't isolate myself from it. I really do not like what I see of these. They have this one black man, he's in the streets today, preaching to people, calling the gays out, going to hell, and everybody going to hell, and he's just there, and he's trying to get them saved, and whatever that is. Getting somebody saved is to get them to behave like you? I don't think so. And so Christianity is not the flagship of salvation. I think the flagship of salvation, if you're looking for that, is your own personal belief in God. And you're living out those standards. Love them that hate you. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Okay? Don't love, but forgive. Live in peace amongst your brothers. You find those words in the holy books. And you can question who wrote them, but America could be a great place if we just opened up the gates and let everybody in. And let's see what happens. If all the countries would open the gate and let everybody in and start feeding everybody, loving everybody, and keep your laws strong. Anybody break the laws, anybody kill another person, steal from another person, does something, put them in jail, kill them, execute them. Get rid of the evil people. But open up your borders. Don't worry about them coming in. The Somalis getting on a boat trying to get away from starvation. Let them come in your country. You got a whole field out there that got to be harvested. Let them harvest that. Let them plow it under. Feed them. Water them. Take care of their children. Educate their children. Teach them your language. Share in the culture. Los Angeles is a beautiful city. They're building all these skyscrapers downtown, these apartments. I said it looks like Upper Manhattan in downtown L.A. now. The city has really changed from what it used to look like. And it's an exciting thing to live here, but not exciting when you see people depressed. We're living during this virus, and this virus is surely taking its toll on the American population. I think each of us, if we're going to get through this without going stir crazy or batty, you know, you got to do what I'm getting ready to do on this second day of October 2020. I've already shaved yesterday, but I think I'll take it down another notch. Stubbles are coming back. I'm going to shave, comb my hair, fix myself up, put on me some fancy clothes, get in my little car, and I'm going to drive to go visit my brother. I'm going to call him and let him know I'm on the way. And I'm going to go visit him and so I can just talk with him. to let him know that I'm still here. Things are still going on. Nothing has changed. Everything is still functional. I have a sister that stays in Chicago. I try to speak with her. She has a son there living with her. She's doing all right. So I have my family around me. I speak with my daughters constantly, with my grandchildren. And I hope that you're doing the same. But I will tell you, I do feel the effects of staying home since March. I do. I don't like the way it's got me feeling. I want to exercise more, but I'm eating my own. And please, take some advice from the old man. If you got to eat your own food. Here lately, whenever I eat food that other people cook, and and they bring it here for me to eat it, that stuff is killing me. I can't eat that. Matter of fact, I'm going to go in there and take some food out now and prepare it for lunch later on. Maybe lunchtime now. I don't know what time. Let me see what time it is. It looks like it's, oh my gosh, it's 12:20. It's lunchtime. No wonder I feel hungry. But other than that, and a little stiffness in my back when I get up, I have to walk more because I don't want to. I'm 76 now, and a friend of mine told me last night, Jesus, I'm looking good. The wrinkles in my face are gone. I'm looking good. I really am. It's just that I'm not exercising enough. And I have to step up on that. And I think it's through being in and depression gets on me. I could play a musical thing for you today. I don't feel like listening to music. Can you believe that? I don't feel like listening to music. I don't feel like doing anything but just maybe going visiting my brother or just driving. Driving keeps me focused because it's something that I have to do. As a matter of fact, I may drive out to the college that I used to teach at. I don't think the campus is open. I don't think it is. But it would be nice to go by there and just drive by and see what's happening. Somebody mentioned to me, John, why don't you get another job at one of the senior centers or something like that? I don't want to do that. See what I mean? The depression is setting. I don't want to do that. What do I want to do? I'm going to get up, freshen up, go visit my brother. It's about 28 minutes into the webcast. I hope that you guys can just stay cool, hang in there, scroll down the page. There's myriads of subject matters that I can talk about. And it's interesting, for the month of October, you find me and I find you as we are living through the reality of a virus. Okay, so we're going to do that and we're going to stay safe as much as we can. I'm going to tell you the truth. It is utterly an outrageous proposal. If I was telling my daughter over the phone last night, they tell me they don't want you to see your grandchildren. They don't want you to see. It's impossible for you to live like that. And for the poor people that lost loved ones and the loved ones died, if I really get ill, I'm going to just tell my daughters, if you want to see me alive, come by and see me now, because I'm sinking deep, deep, deep. But once you put me, and I'm going deep, 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 and you put me in the hospital, you'll never see me again, because that's where you die. That's where you die. But I'd love to go visit my doctor and get a checkup so he can check me up. I haven't had a checkup in my goodness. I think it's time for a checkup. Maybe he can discover something else that I don't know. They keep trying to give me the flu shot. They say that the flu season is coming here. The flu season? Oh, my God. You know. So, I'm going to cut it short and say thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for listening. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.